Thing.
Sorry, we're getting a late start here. I think the roads are kind of keeping people off, but I see that Representative Lane is here, so we're just going to get right at it. And Representative Lane will move the bill when we have a quorum, which we don't have, but welcome to the committee, and I know I'm sure you have testifiers, and we'll just go ahead and hear your bill. We'll move it when we can, and Representative Lane and members, just to remind people, we did the Fridley TIF bill in the tax bill that the governor just signed, and Representative Lane and Representative Tilbury told me that Fridley needed some additional changes, and I said no at the time of the last bill, because we did not allow, as members of this committee know, we didn't allow anybody to make changes to bills that had come through the veto tax bill process. So all the bills went in as they were. And now we're hearing from some folks who have some changes. I think Representative Knuth has the same situation as well. So with that, we want to hear what doesn't work now for the city of Fridley for the TIF. And my memory of this is it's all relates to the North Star commuter rail line.
Yes. Welcome, Madam Chair and members. And I, and having said everything I would have said, I'll pass it to these people.
Welcome.
Thank you. Scott Lund, Mayor Fridley. Madam Chair and members of the committee. The purpose of this amendment was to clarify it a little bit better and to make it more reasonable in the use of this tax increment district. We've defined it not, or in this amendment, as you may have read, we're calling it a project area. The reality is we're not going to be able to develop 150-plus acres all at one time. And once we have a project started, as you know, the clock starts ticking on the TIF district. And we would much rather use it incrementally as projects come online.
I apologize. Can I just stop you for a second? We have some confusion here because we don't think we have the amendment, do we? Okay. Okay. So we have not yet moved it, but continue.
Okay. You may want to look in your packets also. There should be a little map in here that kind of better defines it. Circled areas just are 2 points to consider. Where it's the larger of the yellow circles that says that's 30. That actually is a project that we feel that will come to fruition probably within the next year or so. And we'd hate to have the district starting and maybe we don't get North Star Rail or other things for a number of years. The second circle, as you see, is a residential area that isn't very much need of redevelopment. And, you know, of course, residential is not doing very well currently. So years from now, hopefully as residential improves, so will the viability of that particular project. What this amendment will do will allow us to create smaller districts within this project area so that we do get the benefit of the TIF as the projects come online. Aside from North Star, there is the monies would be used for infrastructure. This is one of Fridley's oldest areas. It is in very much need of redevelopment and some new added streets, new infrastructure underground. So whether we ever get North Star Rail or the station there or not, this project area needs to be redeveloped.
I would just add, Madam Chair, that we have every intention of getting North Star Station there in Fridley, and we're scrambling to work for some other alternatives right now.
Okay. And may I ask, was it Mayor Lund?
Yeah.
Right? My understanding, though, is there is no financing for the station, though. Is that right?
Well, it didn't make it through the bonding.
Right.
I don't even know if it ever got added into the bonding bill. But just so that you and the other members know, Fridley is working. We will own the property on the east side of the tracks by approximately May 1st. The county, so our HRA is working on that. The county has committed to putting in the tunnel necessary for a station under the track, and they will be installing that this Memorial Day weekend.
The county has?
The county is.
The county has. Okay.
Earlier in another session, there was a committee meeting, it was asked, well, Mayor, you're very passionate about this station, and we are. We feel it's vitally necessary to have that included, but we may not just get there this year. But we are working towards that end. And so the question was asked at a previous committee hearing, what's Fridley's match? Well, I guess in the reality of things, the entire cost by the state was too much to bear at this point, given your financial situations, I guess. So we are committed to the point of using whatever we can and purchasing that property on the east side of the track. The county already owns the west side of the track, and the county's also putting in the tunnel. It won't be usable. It's just a culvert underneath the station. There won't be any elevator shafts or anything at this point to utilize it for a walkway pedestrian thing. And the county has done a considerable amount of other things as far as all the preliminary stuff and getting the easement from Burlington Northern. So the easements already exist so that we can access, utilize the railroad.
And I would also clarify, Madam Chair, the tunnel that will be going in is a requirement of Burlington Northern Santa Fe to get this in now while they're doing some other work there. And they're just basically putting the culvert underneath the tracks. But there will be no access on either end at this point. It will be filled back in. So that when it eventually is finished off, the culvert will be done and they won't have to disturb their processes. So that part is going to be done. And that was backed by the county, assuming that the bonding bill would go through and they could be repaid. But it was backed by the county, so now it falls to them to cover. But as you say, that's a basic culvert. So to get this tunnel finished and an elevator put in to bring people back up to the surface and to do the purchase of the land around the area so that a station could go in and then to finally do the engineering and building of the station are what's left. We will be meeting with Oversize people and with county people, and Jim Kordiak, the county commissioner for our area, has some ideas generated of what the county might still come up with. I'm assuming it's from the sales tax that's going to come through now from this tax bill. Perhaps if I were to make a guess, I would think that he might be looking at using the sales tax to pay for county doing bonding to be able to get this thing going. So there's a lot of interest in getting Sidley online by the time North Star starts in December of 2009. But if it doesn't start in December of 2009, there is the possibility of coming on a year later. So we're still scrambling to get this done, and this is a piece of the process. And one of the reasons to slow this TIF district down a little is for the purpose of allowing this to not all start right now, and then the station take a year or two longer than we expected and have things not move as easily in providing for the funding for both the station itself and the redevelopment around it.
And may I ask, I don't know if this is for Mr. Casterly, but the slowing down concept, that's the 5-year exemption for the knockdown, that's how you're slowing it down?
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Okay. And then the pooling is just to get more money.
That is, Madam Chair, that is to allow the funds within the shaded area to be spent anywhere within the shaded area.
Okay.
So.
And I represent Lane and Mr. Casterly. Mr. Casterly probably knows that's the more problematic part of this bill. But we do want to understand the problem, and I know you're trying to get this done. Representative Tilbury, do you have comments on this bill for us?
One of the comments that I have is if Fridley does not get that station on the North Star Trail or rail line, the first stop's going to be in Coon Rapids. That's quite a distance from Minneapolis. So I just echo the need that the city of Fridley has for this and trying to prepare to get what they need so that that station can get in place at some time. And if we don't get that tunnel access in there while Burlington Northern is in that situation and the rail line comes through, I don't see that they're going to stop that rail line to build a station for Fridley afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I think it's real timely.
Thank you for that. Mayor Lund, what's the tax rate at in your community these days? Are you, I know you've suffered LGA's loss over time. Have you looked, can you bear any more of the funding on this, just straight up on the property tax, the good old-fashioned transparent way?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I don't want to go there with the loss of the LGA and our financial problems that Fridley now incurs. Only by reserves are we able to balance our budget. After massive budget cuts, we still cannot come down to the losses that we've incurred through LGA. And Fridley is a home rule or charter city that has a unique situation. I have very, very restricted abilities in raising any tax in Fridley because of the way our charter has been amended the day that I was elected, in fact. So
we can't go there as far as raising broad-based fees or taxes to our taxpayers. Right. So it's quite unique. So it doesn't give us a lot of opportunities. It's either cut or take money out of reserve. With that being said, that is our... You mentioned, I know that you're not a real fond advocate for pooling, so the word usually has been said, don't use the word pooling, but, you know, for lack of a better word, that pooling is about $800,000. So it's not a huge chunk of money, but over time, that's going to equate to about $2.7 million. That's what will buy or mostly pay for the property on the east side. We expect to pay about $3.2 million for that property. So I think that's a significant match, I believe, for a lowly fiddly with the inability to make ends meet right now, to put in that into the mix. That's $3.2 million is significant. Added on with the county already purchasing the west side property, all the acquisition of the easement rights that they have put into the pot, and their willingness to put in $1.6 million for the culvert or the tunnel. So that $10.6 million that's been floated around for the Fridley North Star Station really in reality needs about $5.3 million to actually build the station.
And if I may, Mayor Lund, and I see Representative Gavney has a question as well, and I should say, this is the first tip bill we've heard this year. We're going to use the process we always have, which is we're going to ask everyone to fill out the forms. And then Representative Gavney, myself, Representative Lanning, and Representative DeLaForest will be working as the TIF working group again to kind of try to author blind, look through the proposals, and make a recommendation back to the full group. Can you tell me about this charter? I mean, I'm a charter city, too. What happened in your charter that you can't raise taxes? I'm just curious.
Threshold of 2% by the... voters of the last general election. That percentage, there's 2% of those people, it equates to about 213 votes that registered voters that can sign a petition, and by reverse referendum, it is called by a vote at our next election, or we have to call for an election. So each year we generally have a balloted question because the voters are now very aware of our charter that they can easily undo what I and the council do every year. So each year we have an expensive cost for an election. We just most recently did one, a special election in November.
So it's 2% versus 5 or 10 like everyone else, Representative Silvery?
It could be about 200 voters that could.
All we needed was 213 signatures to cause the petition to reverse referendum. And when you simply ask the taxpayers of Fridley anyways, you want the city council to have the ability to raise your taxes, and of course they say no. So... four times I've had to go to the voters to finally get passed this last November something as mundane as being able to increase their water and sewer so that we stop putting more money into water and sewer, because the Met Council, and I have nothing against the Met Council, but they take 75% of our total income from our sewage alone, so it's for recycling and taking our sewage. And yet it took four times for the voters to recognize that we needed to raise our utility rates. And we have the lowest rates in the entire metropolitan area, so I don't want anybody to think that we had exorbitant utility rates. We have the absolute lowest. So it's a pretty unique situation.
Well, and maybe I'm blindsiding our staff here with Mr. Michael, but Mr. Michael, can you just... How many people are doing this in the state of Minnesota? Are there other cities in the Fridley situation? I had never even heard of that. So right now, that is quite a hurdle for you to get over.
Madam Chair, I don't know the answer to it. The League of Cities might be able to explain, be able to have some information on how many cities have levy limits in their charters. I think Fridley is somewhat unique. In fact, the legislature, in a couple of times in the past, has, as a matter of state law, preempted the Fridley charter provision so that, for example, when there were LGA cuts, that they would not, because of the way, if I recall correctly, the way their charter is limited, that they might not even be able to levy back for LGA cuts and that sort of thing. So there have been a couple of times where the legislature has preempted the Fridley Charter to prevent some of these anomalies from constraining the city. And so I think having a very tight limit like this is a little unusual, but I do believe that there are some other cities in their charters that probably have similar kinds of limits on their capacity to raise taxes without voter approval or permitting reverse referenda.
Madam Chair, under the testifiers, I'm trying to understand the relationship between the new transportation bill that was passed and the TIF proposal, because one of the compelling arguments for passing the transportation bill was the increased reliance on the property tax to fund transportation projects, and so we were going to try to solve some of that. You're wanting to develop a transit station. We've got a quarter cent metro sales tax for transit. Why put the development of the transit station in the property tax when there is now a dedicated source of funding for transit?
Madam Chair, Representative, maybe I can help a little bit on this. But this bill is not designed to create more funding for the station. This bill is designed to assist the city with real redevelopment problems. The station is going to be the catalyst that we hope will encourage massive redevelopment in this area. And we have a whole series of problems of trying to raise some revenues and do this in on a large scale. And that's why you see within the shaded area what the law previously has allowed us to do, based on what the governor just signed, was to in fact create one single tax increment district that included the entire shaded area. Well, our development just isn't going to occur like that. And what this legislation before you is asking is the opportunity to create several different districts and allow us to spend the revenues from those districts for our improvements anywhere within the shaded area. It's confined to that. And just so the committee does know, the Fridley H area is in fact a very active and really does assist in redevelopment activities. It has levied the maximum levy for the HRA for at least 9 or 10 years, I believe. And the city does agree to that every year, and it uses its funds for redevelopment activities. So it has been very careful, and the HRA is the one who is really responsible.
If I can add on to that, sir, I don't know if Mr. Cassidy's answered your question succinctly. Just from my take, or just from my understanding of it, and so you understand it. When we talked earlier about this $2.7 million that will come over time from about $800,000 that is in expiring districts elsewhere in Fridley, and that pooling that's not well liked, that would help us, from those pooling that money, will help pay for the property on the east side that the HRA is purchasing. That would be for the North Star Station, our match, if you want to call it a match, for that. But that's a very small area up in this whole shaded area. As Mr. Casterly has spoken, allowing other districts within this one single district, because redevelopment needs to occur, and we need a lot of infrastructure replacement repairs in that whole older area. So any new money created from this TIF district, or a combination of smaller TIF districts in this project area, would be for the infrastructure of the road, a possible bridge that we've talked about for an east-west connection, and a lot of infrastructure and street replacements.
And Madam Chair, if I could add something.
Representative,
you're asking the property tax as opposed to getting the off the property tax. The Fridley Station had a unique situation because it has to go in the middle of tracks. And therefore, we have to have not only this tunnel, which is only partially being covered now and would have to be finished off later, but also my understanding then would be property on both sides of the tracks rather than just on one side where the station would be in normal situations. So it was way more expensive. Therefore, it was removed initially to be set aside later because it went over some federal guidelines. And it's a scramble to get it back in and to get it done. And the interest of the North Star Rail Corridor is to have it there. It is in the plans. It's still in the plans. It's just seeking to make it work. And this is just one of the ways to try to make it work in a unique situation. So the people of Fridley will benefit by having the station there, and therefore they're willing to put forth this idea of contributing property tax in the sense of not releasing the TIF district to get it up and going, because it will not only be excellent to have the station there, but it will also bring redevelopment around it.
Captain Danny.
Well, Madam Chair, let me try just one short question. I see on page 2, lines 1 and 2, that some of this revenue would be for the tunnel to allow access to the North Star Commuter Rail. Is this project not a is the new quarter cent metro sales tax for transit not available for the construction of that tunnel?
Representative Lane.
I think the counties are scrambling right now to decide how they will use that money. The number, I think half of what comes to Anoka County will go back to Met Council. How does that work? Half of it will be used for transit, is what I understand. So $8 million should come into Anoka County, $4 million should go into transit. And out of that, we're hoping that some part of that will be able to be used in assisting this station in getting going. But it's not going to be able to cover the cost of the whole thing, of purchasing the land, finishing off the tunnel, and building the station. That's too much.
Okay, well, we have a quorum, so if Representative Tilbury wants to move this on the amendment, So Representative Tilbury moves House File 2847, and Representative Tilbury moves the DE1 amendment. Discussion to the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. You know, I guess just going forward now, as before the working group starts working on it, I'll just tell you, I think that you've got a pretty compelling argument on the station issue. And topped off with the Fridley Charter that we all just learned about. Yikes.
No.
But I'm not understanding the other unrelated development and why your city would like an exemption from the regular TIF redevelopment rules. And I think we're going to have to talk about that more, because that's not station specific as I understand it. But I did want you to know that I'm carrying a piece of legislation this year to increase the HRA levy statewide. And you might want to think about, if when you see that bill, if that became law, how much more money that would give you to get toward your goal, because the HRA levies haven't been increased in a long time. And I don't know if this committee would approve that or if the legislature, but that's another piece of the puzzle, too. So is there further testimony? Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Lanning and Mayor, if you've already answered this, I'm sorry for coming in a little bit late, but it is somewhat unusual that we're already looking at amending a law that we just passed, and that we heard last year and was in last year's bill and brought forward again now. When did you realize that the bill you presented last year that was finally passed this year was not going to do the job for you?
Mr. Castleman.
Sure. We realized that before the end of last session, we had drafted amendments, and when they were put on in conference committee, the wrong amendment was grabbed. That's the truth. And so when we came back this year to say, would you redefine our project area, both chairs from House and Senate said that would not be a prudent thing to do. And we understand prudence, so we did not pursue it. And that's why it's back before you right now.
Captain Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your honesty.
Thank you. Further discussion to this bill? If not, I will lay over House File 2847 as amended for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we all learned a lot about Fridley Charter today.
Thank you.
I want to work on it. Come on, changing that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, I'm
there. I want to defend the amendment would be to do away with the charter and put them at, out of your secretary city.
Yeah. They might like that, Representative.
They might like that.
With that, we're going to hear Representative Knuth's bill for New Brighton. And is that right? He's a close member. And Representative Tilbury, I think you're physically closest to to New Brighton. Which member here is physically closest to New Brighton? I think Representative Tilbury wants to move this one as well. Don't you, Representative Tilbury?
Yes.
Okay, so Representative Tilbury moves House File 3856. Welcome to the committee, Representative Muse. And this is another, Mayor Larson, nice to see you again and welcome. This is another bill that wanted changes since the tax bill was signed. And again, the two tax chairs said no, not for the vetoed process. We didn't want to violate changing any of those bills as we presented it to the governor. So with that, Representative Newt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill. We also have a delete all amendment for this bill.
And Representative Tilbury then moves the DE1 amendment. Discussion to the amendment to get it in the order the author would like it. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill we're bringing forth to help deal with some issues that seem to keep coming up with the Northwest Quadrant Redevelopment Plan. And I'm going to turn it over to some representatives from the city to further explain the bill and the issues it's trying to address.
Welcome.
Madam Chair, Steve Larson, the Mayor of New Brighton. It's a pleasure to be in front of you again. And like our predecessors have clearly said, if Mr. Casserly explained it, we would have liked to add some revisions to the tour tax code. We totally understand prudence, and we know what we have to do after that. So I appreciate it going forward from last year's bill. What we're looking at this year is the opportunity to not only try to offset the denial by being in the bonding bill for the $6 million methane collection system that's going to be required on the east side. If you look up there and see on the right-hand side, that the whole red area is a dump that's existing. That's where Medtronic was going to go.
Right.
And when their demand for total indemnification on health care costs exceeded what our property taxpayers could afford, they went to Mountview. And that's just the way it is. So now we're looking at doing a total cleanup there, and right now we don't know if the methane collection system has to be an active or a passive system that's still being considered by MPCA, and we're working diligently with them. We have a potential hotel, seven-story hotel, that wants to go into that gray that our city manager is pointing to, and they cannot go there unless the MPCA allows them to go there. And there's a concern because the little corner of the property has, as you see that little red area, that's a little bit of the dump that we could move aside and start building within the next 4 months. Everything is right online to get it in the ground and start doing the construction, get all those jobs on site. But we have to work with the MPCA and get approval. Because we carved off part of this east side to get Transoma Medical, that gray building on the upper right, 120,000 square foot building. They do the implants that send the signals to the doctor's office, and you can read instead of going in for a visit, they can record it. So that's a place where you're going to have probably 400 jobs with an annual salary about $75,000 per job in that quadrant. They're already there. They're probably going to be online with all the people moved in by the end of this year. So we're anxious about that. We have API in the left-hand side that isn't impacted by the dump or anything else because that was clean soil. They're already building. That's the company that's owned by Lee Anderson, a benefactor to St. Thomas for $60 million. So we wish he would cover it, but I think he spent all St. Thomas. In the upper left-hand side, you'll see that sort of a purpley pink color. That's where we have contamination from an old refinery. Ashland Refinery, and when we started doing the cleanup last fall, we discovered that when the Superfund project was done, they didn't remove things as required. So what happens is we started doing excavation, found tanks and pipelines full of residue, which immediately calls in the MPCA again. Everything stopped, and now we're going through a whole process that's going to delay it even further to find out what has to be done to get that cleaned up also. And so right now, but our bottom line is we figured that the least amount of our investment in this project is $84 million. With the sale of land, grants, and everything else, bottom line is we're only getting $74 million back. We've got a $12 million deficit with the action that was included with 626 being addressed in the tax bill. That is going to cover about half of that. By inclusion and pooling of District Number 9 and Number 20, that will allow us to basically cover the cleanup and the methane collection system in the dump. And by an extension of District 31 and 32, which are the east and west side up here, that's going to allow us to actually capture the increment that we can't capture now because of the housing market, the contamination market, the clean title to the land, everything else that's associated with it, we can't get. It's just impossible for us to get it until we get it cleaned up. And with the solvent problem that we found on the west side, on the left-hand side, we have Lake Lake Regional Park that goes directly to the north, and we have Long Lake that is on the direct left of that, to the west. Long Lake feeds into Rice Creek, which feeds into the Mississippi. And there have been traces of trichloroethylene going into Long Lake. They're supposedly not coming from the TCAP site up in Arden Hills, so there's only one other area that there's solvents, and that's us. So it's a matter of importance not only to the city of New Brighton, but basically anything that's downstream of Long Lake that could be affected by solvents. And I think it's prudent for us to try to clean up and do whatever we can, but I don't want to put it on the tax roll. If I can use existing money that's there in pooling in different districts, that will do it without increasing the taxes. And I don't see another way. I don't want to ask for a bailout. It's just a matter of if we can extend 4 years, we're hopefully going to be able to take that $72 million bottom line revenue and make it a zero. And that's my goal.
So, Mayor Larson, if I may, and by the way, City Manager, you're doing a great job showing us things on that map. Where is Medtronic? Can you remind us? Because we all kind of remember that. Where is that golf course and Medtronic? Is golf course in New Brighton, or was that in Moundsview? Okay, so that's that way. Is that correct?
2 miles straight north.
North. Okay. Okay. And this is all coming back to me now. Okay, I have one question. The governor insisted that the deed taxes for these cleaning up these polluted lands be removed in the omnibus tax bill, or he'd veto the bill. With Representative Hortman's bill for your county, would you have received funding from that revenue source, if you know? Which is, I mean, a lot of members, the tax committee understood what those deed tax issues were for. The rest of the legislature, I don't think, did, but it was for cleaning up projects like this. But
Representative Portman's bill for Anoka County, or was it Anoka?
Anoka.
Okay, this is actually Ramsey County.
Oh, you're still Ramsey. Okay, so it was Representative Murphy.
Yeah.
She had a Ramsey, and the governor insisted that one was out, too. Do you know if you were qualifying on that list for this cleanup?
Madam Chair, one of the issues with cleanup of dumps, if you're a registered dump, you're eligible for cleanup. And if you're a non-registered dump, you aren't. This is a non-registered, it was a private dump, and a lot of the material that went in here was a result of 684 improvements and 35W improvements.
Okay, so if Representative Lanning and Dammy, who were part of this discussion last year, Representative Dior Forrest isn't here right now, and he was as well, will be again, but I wanted to tell you, we were compelled, even though we didn't like last year's proposal, because I think, and not wanting to speak for them, but I think it's fair to say we understand these polluted areas, and it was really Burnsville and New Brighton that we sort of already let kind of break the rules because of these things that you didn't cause and these heavily complicated polluted land issues. And I think this is going to be a recurring problem for this committee and for the state as the first ring and second ring suburb problem grows out as these. We're starting to find all these things in the waters around the metro. It's a problem. So I see the problem. It sounds to me like you're just looking for the money. This is a complicated one. So we'll have to just keep thinking about it. But we have Representative Wolfslager, Solberg, and Dabney. Representative Wolfslager.
Chair, members, Mayor, your discussion of the TCE getting into Long Lake, I'm a chemist by training, so as I look at that map, you probably have a plume.
Well, we already have a plume from the arsenal. That's
yeah, well, you've got another plume.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
you've got it somewhere.
Yeah.
I totally, Representative Wolfbarger, Madam Chair, I totally agree. And it's alarming because I was around in the 1980s when the trichloroethylene hit all of our wells at 300 foot. We run our facility, our water treatment facility, granular activated carbon, run it 24 hours a day. And when we reach full capacity of storage, we have an outlet valve to the only city that would take our water that's perfectly clean after we're at 100% capacity, and that's our friends from Fridley. We have a pipeline that goes into Fridley, and when we reach full capacity, we're deadheaded. We open that valve, and they get water about, what, 2 million gallons a day go into Fridley.
So we cover Representative Tilbury's ears right now?
Yeah. We looked at all kinds of cities, and who wants this water? And everybody's going, it's probably the cleanest water you can ever find. It goes through two vessels of granular activated carbon to remove all this trichloroethylene and ethane. And we have the primary and the secondary. And when the secondary or primary shows X amount of readings per million, then we immediately change to the secondary vessel and make that the primary and go into another one. We have a bank of these trailers, bulk trailers standing on end. And it's a facility that's incredible, but the federal government is going to pay for that till we get the water cleaned up. We try to contain the plume underneath New Brighton at the 300-foot level. But we also have the other issue that you're referring to, Representative Wolfbarger, of the groundwater plume maybe 20 feet, 30 feet down starting to disperse what residue is there into a lake that goes into the Mississippi. And we just found out last year that they did testing and found this chemical there. And that's alarming to me after seeing what it did and knowing how carcinogen it is. I mean, it's a dangerous chemical. And so I think we have to make sure we try to figure out a way to clean up.
I guess, thank you, Chair. You know, my point is that I think you have a bigger problem than what you have detailed as an estimate for dollars. So that was my main point, and I do have some empathy for you. It's not easy to clean up.
Representative
Fulmer. Madam Chair, I want to go back to the DTEC. It's in Ramsey County. Don't they have it already, and wasn't a proposal an extension?
It was, and it was expiring, and now that it was the wooden pass muster, it expired.
My other question is, just because this was a private, what was in the law that said it had to be public? Why was this not eligible? And would have a change in the law have helped them clean it up? What restrictions? Did we place some restrictions on?
And I'm looking to Ms. Baker, and she's looking, she doesn't know for sure. Do we?
My contention, Madam Chair, is that pollution is a pollution. If we had a means of cleaning it up, we should be cleaning it up.
Well, and Representative Solberg, maybe we can find an answer. You know, I'll tell everyone honestly, I mean, my intention is to put those bills back in the next omnibus, though. Sure. I think that was a huge error. I think Representative Mullery had it for Hennepin, and it's been providing a lot of cleanup for a long time, and now they're off the books. And I think we need, this is a great example as to all these kind of problems, even if this one didn't qualify.
And my contention is, why wouldn't it qualify if it's polluted land?
Yes, and I think
and
they're going
to
try to...
There needs to be public ownership of the land now. And if we need to have a change in law and we go down that road, that would help them solve their problems.
Yes, it might. That's a great idea, Representative Fulmer, because if we're going to bring them back, we might have to expand if this kind of a thing doesn't qualify, because it's exactly what those deed and taxes... The deed tax in Anoka and Ramsey were doing was cleaning up these sites. And that's maybe Representative Mullery should jump in here right now because she probably has the most familiarity with how these programs were working that have now expired.
I don't know that distinction and why it would be excluded. Mr. Casserly seems to be up there.
Madam Chair, and in this particular issue, there would not be a distinction. Matter of fact, Ramsey County has already extended funds to us and has made us the loan for
$725.
Right, which has gone for our cleanup. And
okay.
And matter of fact,
it's
a very, very low interest loan, which they are being very, very helpful with. And okay. Matter of fact, we were hoping to have them assist us. And we want to make very clear, every unit of government has been helping us. And the legislature has been very, very good to us just by the passage of our most recent request. I mean, genuinely, our problem is does not seem to be getting smaller. And so that's why we keep coming back. This isn't something that we enjoy doing.
And Mr. Cass, I think that's the point Representative Wolfire was making as well. And I think I worry for New Brighton, honestly, listening to this, because it seems the deeper you go, the tougher it's getting. And it's not something you did. It's not, you know, it's things that happened years and years and years ago, and these problems are going to keep recurring across the whole state.
Madam Chair, the one positive thing that is happening is that in probably the most concentrated area, we are segregating that, and that's going to be, don't you know, part of a park.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
So Representative Solberg, House Research is confirming that it does qualify, but now it's gone. I mean, it's over. That funding source is done.
And then we also have an amendment. Has that been adopted?
Yes, it has. And Representative Dabney.
First, Madam Chair, I appreciate and support your willingness to put the deed taxes into the next tax bill. I do think it's a valuable program that does certainly what we want happening, cleaning up messes, and that's appropriate. I think I probably have a question for staff, although perhaps the chair could answer it. Thinking more broadly, not to this specific legislation or this specific issue, just to, not to scare the testifiers, but off of your earlier comments, Madam Chair, about where do we get revenues to clean up these messes, and particularly looking forward. The 3/8 proposal that will be on the ballot this fall, I'm not remembering well enough the structure of the environmental dimensions of that. Would any of those revenues, were it to be passed by the voters, be available for remediation of environmental hazards? The whole language.
I don't know the answer to that either. I'm looking for which member is the most involved in that whole putting that pile of funding together, and I don't know. Mr. Michael, Representative Simpson, you were kind of a fan of that proposal, weren't you? No? You voted no, I think. You voted... Oh, I voted no. Yeah. Does anyone... You have a Representative Carlson?
I would have an impact, but I was just going to say if one voted no, they must have known what the distribution was.
I don't like dedication, period. But regardless of the distribution, I don't know. Mr. Michael, do you know? We are ill-equipped as a tax committee.
Madam Chair, I do not know the answer to that, but I also believe that you have to enact enabling legislation that would specify how that money would be used. And I, sort of my recollection is the constitutional language is fairly general, and since this relates to clean water, it very well might be the sort of thing for the remediation costs that you could pay for, but this is just speculation on my part.
Madam Chair?
We're going to note that Mr. Michael speculated on something.
Yeah. Well, I
did it all the time.
I was going to ask if I got to something, Mr. Michael. Yes. It doesn't happen often.
Representative Wolfhager.
Oh. Well, I was just going to comment on the remediation that the constitutional amendment says generally clean water, doesn't say remediation, and I would say in this case, these are clear remediation issues. You've got an old arsenal. So, and you have TCE, which is a real common solvent cleaner with no known multiple sources of supply. So, it's a really broad issue that I don't think that was the intent of the clean water, those two words in the constitutional amendment.
Madam Chair, I'm not going to comment on the constitutional amendment, but just to be clear, this is actually an old refinery, an old dump, but if you go right across the freeway, you get to the arsenal. So the arsenal's not actually on the map. That's in Arden Hills, and we might be seeing that in the next coming years as they move towards redevelopment.
Okay.
Refinery, arsenal, you got a problem.
Yeah. And is it manager Lauder? Lauder, yes.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
It's against my nature to simply point and not say anything.
Yes, we'd like you to say anything.
Madam White.
We do both.
Struggling.
You should be a
legislator. It's your fault.
Right. If I could I approach the mask?
Yes,
please. Am I loud enough?
Yes.
Can I get away from the microphone? Just to make a few points that hopefully won't be too repetitive with regards to what has already been said, but just so everyone's got their compass oriented correctly here, this is 694. This is 35E.
Okay.
W. 35W. I did my own luck in celebration. 35W. And so this is 100 acres of land that sits right at the northwest corner of that intersection. It's the second busiest intersection in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. And the city put together this project because it was obviously a need for redevelopment, and it was extremely complex, as you've already learned. We have soil remediation work that's already occurring here this spring that'll clean up this property and make it developable. The area here that we're talking about it, with the dump, this will actually be kind of folded over on itself. And then what the PCA has expressed as concern is that there's methane that's being produced from this dump, not in any larger quantity than a normal dump would produce, but it's not letting it escape as readily available as they'd like to see. That's what the real concern is, okay. Is the migration of that methane into these other properties. So when you see just that little nub right here on this developable area, one of my thoughts was, well, let's just replat it and move that line over so we can get this hotel going.
Right.
CCA won't allow that because their concern is the migration.
Okay.
It's still close enough to the dump, they're concerned that methane will eventually make it into that building. So as a result, when you hear about the methane collection system, when we came to the legislature this year with kind of a three-pronged approach. One was a bonding request, one is TIF pooling, and one is TIF extension. We aren't making it forward with bonding request, but that was specifically for funding the infrastructure related to the methane collection on this project. And we need that to happen in order to make this project move forward. We have the hotel listed here, but that's optimistic right now because that's not a done deal. Transoma is a done deal. Their building, in July, they'll move 380 employees into this building. They'll move it up to 400, and when they hit that 400 level, they're going to exercise an option over here and build another similar size building. This is 120,000 square feet. They'll build a minimum 70 to another 120,000 square feet over here. These jobs, without including top management, pay an average of $75,000 a year. They're very good, high-paying jobs, and it's good for this area, it's good for this region. This entire project, once developed, at least under the current plan, would essentially provide homes to about 2,000 residents and would create about 2,000 jobs. It's significant. It's a huge impact. So we have these challenges before us, and we ask that for your support for our, and you know, pooling is a bad word. I was trying to come up with a more euphemistic term, revenue enhancement aggregation. that sounds good. But what we'd like to be able to do is grab a hold of those revenues. It's not fake dollars. It's not money from other types of agencies. We're asking to be able to move the success of those other development districts in the city so that we can make this a success, so that we can get those jobs going and make this come to reality. So that's really what we're trying to do. The mayor's reminding me that right now we have had some problems on the west side. We had a housing developer that pulled out over here, and we've got some challenges with that, some litigation that's ongoing. But what that represents to us is if we aren't able to move forward with our dump closure and make these parcels developable, we're going to start incurring expenses of about $2 million a year. It's been a little bit more in debt service payments as those start to mature.
Okay, well, thank you. We've learned a lot, Representative Knuth, and I, you know, we'll all keep thinking about it. I do understand that it's unpopular to, of course, raise the property tax to do this. However, extending the TIF is a property tax increase as well. It's just you're able to export it, part of it, to the county, and I understand why you want to do that, Evan, but it is, you know, the more we pool and the longer we let these things go on, there's a property tax shifting going on there too. But I understand Representative Knuth has a problem and the area has a problem, and
people can keep thinking about what we should do here. Representative Mullery. Representative Lanning, I'm sorry. Apologize, Representative Lanning was waiting. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I really believe that the state has an obligation to find appropriate ways to help communities do cleanup such as this. This we can save this argument for another day, but I don't believe the deed tax is the way to do it. If we're going to dedicate any of the deed tax to anything, in my view, it ought to be dedicated to affordable housing, where there is a clear nexus. I don't think there's a very clear nexus between the people paying a deed tax on homes in this community and the pollution that may be on this site. Well, we can save that argument for another day. The other thing I want to comment on and ask about is the extent to which any of the property here where the cleanup is required is currently in private hands versus public.
Representative Lanning.
Mayor Larson, yes.
We own 100% of the property. It's in our hands now. Everything.
Madam Chair, I'm glad to hear that because I have a concern when the state goes in and spends a lot of money cleaning up private property that's worth maybe nothing, and then the private ownership accrues all kinds of gain and property value as a result. So I'm glad to hear that in this case all of the property that's going to end up benefiting here is in public ownership.
Great. Representative Mullery.
Well, Madam Chair, I was going to get into it, but I would totally disagree with Representative Lanning. There is no nexus between affordable housing and the deed tax, and there's a great nexus between the deed tax and cleanup, because on the brownfield cleanup, you are creating a bigger property tax base, which in turn lowers the property tax that the people are paying. So they're getting something back in return. But my question was on the specific on the deed tax. Did Anoka County take a position for or against it? I'm just
Representative Mullery, I recall in the tax conference committee that I see Mr. Schreiber is here. They sat at the table and wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I believe, Anoka County? Now, I can't speak for the Anoka County commissioners, but my memory is they supported the deed. Yes. Mr. Schreiber's nodding.
I think Ramsey and Hennepin also did. I don't remember about Dakota.
Dakota was there as well at the table. Yeah. Mr. Tilly, I believe.
Barry Tilly?
Supporting it, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Okay, Representative Knuth, any closing comments? We've all learned a lot. I'm going to go ahead and lay over your bill. Oh, excuse me, Representative Yarrows.
I was just going to say, talking about cleanup, maybe I could have an amendment to your bill. We have a minor problem in Lake Superior.
Minor.
Honeywell, after World War II, got the federal government, the Army Corps, dumped, around 50 barrels. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Of I don't know what's in there. And I've read, and you can't get the federal government to do anything about it. We've got resolutions, letters, they won't even respond. So maybe Minneapolis, since Honeywell is in Minneapolis, at least one plant.
I think it's New Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, they moved, that's right.
That is a big problem. Thank you for that, Representative Yarrows. I'm going to lay over House File 3856 as amended. Thank you, Representative Knuth, and we'll all keep talking.
Thank you,
Mayor Larson. Thank you, Manager Otter.
Thank you.
And so now we've got Representative Mullery's bill for the Minneapolis Housing Replacement District, and Representative Mullery moves House File 3536. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to get it in the shape the author wants, we would ask to delete sections 1 and 2 because they are already law.
Okay, Representative Mullery moves to delete section 1 and 2. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The oral amendment is adopted, and yes, that passed in the signed text, though. So, to the part that we have left to look at, Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And all this does is allows the tax increments from the replacement district to be used for other houses outside the actual TIP district. And if you don't understand why this is so desperately needed, I'll bring you to the north side. And you just drive around down there, drive on either side of Broadway, for instance, Broadway near the river. You have blocks where more than half of the houses are down, or other blocks where more than half are boarded. We desperately need to find ways to finance the city's efforts to redevelop these areas, and this would completely stay within the intent of the original legislation, that it would be used for the same type of housing. The houses would have to be in the same condition as if it was in the TIF districts, and this would just allow us to get at more redevelopment in both mine and Representative Dominguez areas, and then there's are certain areas of the south side that are starting to develop the same problems. But it's just, we're not like Cleveland yet, thankfully, but we are really having extreme serious problems up there, and I invite anybody to come up that doesn't understand it. And this morning we have Sherry Pugh from the last name now, Sullivan, I keep forgetting that part, from the Northside Residents Redevelopment Council to explain further.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Was it, tell us your name again.
Sherry Pugh Sullivan.
Pugh Sullivan, okay.
I'm the Executive Director of the Northside Residents Redevelopment Council. We're a 37-year-old resident council. We're one of the oldest in the city of Minneapolis, and for 18 years we have provided mortgage foreclosure counseling. Actually, we were the pilot project for that 18 years ago. So we have monitored and assisted families in foreclosure. And the reality is that throughout the history of foreclosures, families going to foreclosures have traditionally had income loss and health incidences, you know, a family crisis that has casted them into foreclosure. But what we saw is starting in 2000, we encountered a new kind of what they call boutique lending instrument, which led to flipping, and those then moved into predatory lending, and then we saw adjustable arms, and those things have all eroded the homeownership base in our community. In the 60s, homeownership was about 25% or less, and the two neighborhoods specifically where we worked the most. But during the time from 1970 through 2000, we had worked in renovating homes, helping people with homeownership. We'd gotten homeownership up to 60% in the Willard Hay neighborhood and up to 35% in the Near North neighborhood. That has all been eroded since 2005. We've seen the foreclosures double in numbers. First, it doubled 200 from 2004 to 2005, and another about 250 to 2006. In 2007, when you look at the map in front of you, you can see that we were truly the epicenter of foreclosures in the state. Someone told us the good news now is that because the foreclosures have spread so broadly, we only represent 5%. But that's not the story you see on the street as you drive down through our neighborhood. The map that I gave you is just a sampling of two blocks north and south of Broadway. So one side is Golden Valley to 23rd. The other one is 26th to 29th, I think. Those are both on 10th Avenue. So Broadway runs between those. And you can see the level of devastation. And what that has happened is that the foreclosures aren't getting sold. They're being bought by the banks or investors. They're sitting vacant and empty. The pipe fees have come in. Crime has set out in the area. And those homeowners who are holding on are just sitting there waiting for something to happen, some help. But in the meantime, too, I need to say that we've lost good homeowners. We've lost good people in our community. So the bill before you allows the city to help our neighborhood in addressing these issues. To address this, it takes more than just this bill. It takes the nonprofit sector. It will take even the lenders who are part of the fault of this. But we need this tool to help us go back in and address the level of devastation we are seeing in our community.
Thank you for that. You know, these maps are very compelling. if members haven't found them and looked at them. It's just, I really feel for you. Is there other questions? Well, if not, I thank you for your testimony. Representative Mullery knows I think this is a good idea. I've not heard a lot of objection to it, so I think the map really highlights the problem and another tool. Certainly, you need a lot more tools than this to solve the problem. But appreciate you being here. And with that, I'll go ahead then and lay over House File Number 3536. Thank you, Representative Mullery. Thank you for being with us. And now we have Representative Carlson, and Representative Carlson moves House File 4004.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill that deals with the city of Crystal. And, Madam Chair, most of the city of Crystal was built right after World War II. And we've reached the point, as have several of the inner suburban districts, for the need of maintaining current housing stock. And so what this bill would allow is the city to create a housing replacement program using a citywide approach to redevelopment rather than its current parcel based approach. And I have with me to help explain the need Mark Hoffman, who's a longtime member of the Crystal City Council, as well as Patrick Peters, who is the head of the Crystal Redevelopment Authority, to expand on the need for the bill.
Welcome. Mr. Hoffman, welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Mark Hoffman. I am the president of the Crystal Economic Development Authority, and I also serve on the Crystal City Council. Just to give a little background on Crystal, for if you don't know, we are a inner ring suburb. We're about 23,000 people. And as Representative Carlson said, we were really developed from about 1946 to 1970. We would be fully considered a fully developed community. And one of our objectives in the future is going to be redevelopment and maintaining our stock, which I think is very important for all cities of our age. Current housing policies and existing programs really are aimed at these houses. They're moderate housing. We're a first-time buyer housing in Crystal. And we're trying to maintain this. What we do now is we do contract with Northwest Housing Resource Center for technical and financial assistance. These A funds incentive rebate programs for home improvement. We do use CDBG funds for deferred home improvement loans. Our replacement program is out there where we try to buy homes that are in trouble and demolish and rebuild. We want to pursue redevelopment of new housing for the types of critical needs, such as senior citizens, independent living, and co-op units. And we also rely on our regulatory tools to maintain the property maintenance codes in the city. I think it's the old story, if we maintain, we're going to be a viable community in the future. Special legislation, what is it going to do for us? We're really looking to tap our available tax increment dollars to fill the unmet needs of the city's housing programs. A few things that we would do here would be provide financial incentives and encourage single-family transformation projects, major remodeling, just regular remodeling, reconstruction jobs. And this would be predominantly on the post-World War II houses that need the needs of today's people. We want to provide funds for the purchase of distressed single-family properties from voluntary sellers, subsequently selling from the partner to a partner housing agency for rehab and resale. We'd like to offer financial incentives for rehab or major capital improvements to large multifamily apartment complexes, and offer to allocate funds for the acquisition of distressed smaller multifamily properties for demolition. Special legislation would allow the city to use the existing increment from existing TIF districts to provide the funding for those housing activities that focus primarily on the preservation of our existing houses. A few things just to really, I think, kind of set the bill up. What we would do again is we're using the existing tax increment accounts to set up a new Crystal Air housing account. The funds in the housing development account would be used for housing activities listed in the bill. The bill maintains reporting requirements for Minnesota statutes relating to the amount of tax increments received and expended. So we are keeping a tracking system. The bill does not extend the duration of the existing tax increment districts, the original districts. The bill does not modify the original district. It merely allows us to use the tax increment revenues derived from the housing replacement district to be deposited in the new housing account. And I think primarily it will not be entirely parcel-based replacement of market housing, but it will become maintenance and preservation of market rate and affordable housing on a citywide basis. What we look for, if we could pass this bill this session, that it would allow Crystal to start doing new reconstruction projects this summer and hopefully increase our tax base for the future needs of the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Hoffman. And did you have some testimony for us as well? Or?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning to let Councilmember Hoffman make this presentation. I am here to answer any questions, and if there is any way that I can contribute to the discussion, I'd be happy to.
Okay, and it's Mr. Peters?
Peters, Community Development Director.
Thank you for that. And I see Representative Mulery has a question. I just have a question for Representative Carlson, and maybe it's for Councilmember Hoffman. Why not just ask for the EDA to have more levy authority? Would that work?
You know, I guess I would say it would work. These are existing funds that we feel with the change in the marketplace over the last, since 1995 when these projects were started, it gives us more flexibility in really improving the city of Crystal. We're not talking about a lot, great deal of money, but if we use the money we're sitting on right now, we could probably do 3 projects. If we expand them and use these funds the way it should be, we can probably do 20 or 30 projects. We're like every other city in the, you know, in the metro area right now. I mean, our funding is down from LGA. I know people are asking to freeze or lower levy limits. And as a city, we're trying to keep our tax base as low as we can. If we have existing funds that are sitting there and we're not utilizing completely, you know, we feel that it's important to go ahead and try to use these funds and put them to their best use. Okay, the district really goes through 2012-2013, so it starts with kind of, you know, 4 or 5 year project to get things rolling and to turn over the funds for, you know, to keep a revolving fund. So hopefully perpetually, you know, fund some of our housing. We do take rates. I mean, we take houses down where we can. We work with contractors. We have a fairly large program that we do use with the homeowners in Crystal that we rebate the money or, you know, basically front part of their project.
And just so you can know how I'm thinking about this, and correct me if I'm thinking about it improperly, I understand you're looking for the money, and I think Representative Carlson has laid out the problem very clearly, and it is an ongoing problem for a lot of places. This is more expansive than what Representative Mulery was just attempting to do, however, because it's creating a new use for TIF that is not permitted. And so it seems to me, again, you're just trying to find money, and so this is somewhere to go. You get the benefit that it's also you're taking in the county tax base as opposed to just the city to pay for it, because it's in TIF, the county taxpayers are contributing to it as well. But, you know, I'm just trying to think about, would you be able to do market rate housing with this proposal? I mean, because certainly that would really be something that would be quite a stretch for a permitted use for TIF, or would this be just solely for low-income housing, or how are you thinking about this?
Madam Chair, this would really be affordable housing that we're looking at. We're not expanding any of the TIF districts. We're using the current district that will dissolve
right
in 2012. And it's money that we think and strongly feel that we can use more productively than the way the district was set up in 1995. Our climate has changed where at that point we did have to replace housing, put affordable housing or market rate housing in. Today, Crystal is 80%, you know, affordable housing. I mean, that's our marketplace, and that's what we're trying to maintain. We're trying not to get into the. We've been fortunate. We do have foreclosures, but it isn't extensive at this point in time, and hopefully won't be. And I think this, when we can reinvest in our community, we really forestall these problems.
So you're trying to get a different use, but you're not trying to extend the time period.
No. We're looking at a time period. The district is going to end in 2013. There's two districts, actually. One is 2012.
Okay.
2011, I think. 2012 and 2013.
Okay.
The districts are going to end at that point in time. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The reconstruction fund hopefully will go forward. hopefully it's like a revolving account and we'll keep going. No, we're not looking to extend CIF at all. I mean, okay. When the district dies, it dies.
It's going to be used. Okay. Representative Mallory?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, just since I've got somebody here, I look at city lines all over the state, and then I look at crystals, and what in the world, how did you ever get lines like that? The city of Crystal kind of goes...
since we got into Stanley Carter, we might as well get into Crystal's line.
What he's describing there, in fact, I have a map that the city provided me, but it really describes not only Crystal, which happens to be in the middle between Robbinsdale and New Hope, but all three of the communities have some jogged lines.
Some?
Even islands of one city or
yes,
the other is surrounded by the other. And Representative Mallory is my neighbor to the east, legislatively, and although the city between Crystal is Robbinsdale. But I've heard different stories, and I've never compared notes with these gentlemen, Madam Chair, but one of the stories that seems to have some validity is that originally there were a lot of small truck farmers in the area, and those that chose to incorporate earlier than others kind of led to the development, especially between New Hope and Crystal in those jagged lines. Robbinsdale is an old city that's probably as old as Minneapolis, or nearly as old, and at one time, Crystal covered much of the northwest suburban area, so there were different incorporation plans, but the one fairly consistent story is, in answer to Representative Mallory, is the decision that was made individually as to whether they would incorporate or not.
And okay.
They're saying, yes, maybe they've heard the same story. That predates even me, and I've lived in Crystal a long time.
Well, thank you for that. Are there further questions on Representative Carlson's bill or further testimony? If not, I thank you, Representative Carlson. I'm going to lay over House File 4004 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and we'll keep talking about it. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
And with that, members, we have minutes. I don't know the date, but would someone like to move the minutes from the 17th?
So moved.
And Representative Downey moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The minutes are adopted. We are adjourned. Thank you.